Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 10, literally for the rest, but in Greek it has to do with a summary statement. Not a conclusion, but a summary statement. In summary, my brothers, be continually being empowered in the Lord and in the grip of His strength. Put on the full armor of God for you to be able to stand against the methodical schemes of the devil. Because our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic forces of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual things of evil in the spirit realm. On account of this, take up the full armor of God, in order that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and after all things have been worked out, to stand. Therefore stand, after having your waist wrapped around in truth, and after having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and after having bound the feet in the preparation of the gospel of peace, and over all things, after having taken up the shield of faith, in which you will be able to quench all the fiery missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and through all prayer and petition, while praying in every opportunity, in spirit, and while watching for this same thing, in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints, and on behalf of me, in order that to me may be given speech in the opening of my mouth, in boldness, to make known the mystery of the gospel, on behalf of which I am an ambassador in a chain, in order that in it I may speak boldly as it is necessary for me to speak. Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 is the doctrine of the new life in Christ. In chapters 4 through 6 are the details of the new life in Christ. So far in chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 9, we have studied the walk of the believer, emphasizing the walk. Every step that we take is in Christ. Every step that we take is important to be under the influence of God's Spirit. So we've studied the walk of the believer, but now in verses 10 through 20 of chapter 6, the warfare of the believer. The warfare of the believer. There is a war going on right now. And it's going on every day, all day long. There is no let up. And according to our text, this warfare is taking place in the spirit realm, which is why in the physical realm, we cannot tell there is a war going on. And as we have mentioned in the past, it is Satan's ploy to make the physical realm seem the opposite of what's true in the spirit realm. Beautiful day out today. Birds are singing. Christmas presents are piling up under the tree. I mean, what better life can you get? They just keep coming, and we just keep shoveling them to the back, and they just keep piling up. I mean, beautiful day, lots of presents, lots of anticipation, expectation, right? It just can't be a better life. But that's how Satan moves. He is a spirit being, and the Holy Spirit of Christ is spirit, not flesh and blood. Therefore, once the Spirit of Christ comes into me, into my spirit, that is what saves me. Being born again, being born of the Spirit of God, that is what makes me belong to Christ. Once I am saved, I am filled with God's Spirit completely. Once Jesus Christ comes into your life, you don't need to add anything more. Not only that, but my spirit where Christ dwells is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Nothing can penetrate into my spirit. And on the inside, God's Spirit is completely filling my spirit. There's no extra room. His Spirit is now one with my spirit. Therefore, Satan, being a spiritual being, looks at the spiritual situation and basically says, nothing I can do about it now. You belong to Christ. I can't defeat the Holy Spirit, so I cannot penetrate your spirit. And even if I could, I can't defeat Jesus Christ who lives in your spirit and who will never leave or forsake, ever. According to John chapter 17, the Spirit of God and I are one. The moment that I was born again, receiving Christ, His Spirit and my spirit are one, and we will be this way throughout eternity. No change, ever. So there's nothing spiritually. This is a dangerous statement because we've got Christians that like to do battle with Satan. But spiritually, there isn't anything Satan can do to me. Period. What's he going to do? Defeat the Holy Spirit? Is he going to knock Jesus out? I mean, what's he going to do here in this battle? Can't. So what he does is he as a spirit being works through the physical realm to appeal to our human senses so that our focus is off of who we are in Christ and our position in Christ and get us all caught up in the emotions and the psychology of the whole thing. Hoping that our response to the physical life and the physical circumstances will someday, if not immediately, influence us as to our evaluation that in the physical realm, that is the truth. I feel terrible. I'm a lousy Christian. All things are going wrong for me in the physical realm. Now, all those things might be true. But that's beside the point. It's who Jesus is and what he has done for us. So he starts off this section by saying, in summary, finally in the King James, or literally for the rest, which in Greek means in summary. That is to say, in these 10 verses, he is summarizing all of the teaching in the book of Ephesians. And the theme of the book of Ephesians is our position in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the spirit realm. See the emphasis? They are spiritual blessings. They are in the spirit realm and they are in Christ. Not some blessings, all spiritual blessings. You can't get any better than total protection from outside evil forces entering into your spirit or disturbing your relationship with the Lord. You can't do any better than the protection, and you can't do any better than the Spirit of the living God living inside of your spirit in His fullness. Wow. Why do we bother with anything out here? Look what a great blessing it is that we have. Except that the human realm is natural to us. And so Satan appeals to the physical realm. But in summary, he is chained. There is a short chain between Paul and the soldier who's watching him. He is under house arrest. And there are soldiers that around the clock are chained to Paul by a chain. And this was a couple of years that he was under house arrest. So he uses this example of the soldier's armor to summarize being in Christ in the spirit realm. All of these, we will see, all of these pieces of armor are Jesus Christ. All of them. So he says, in summary, my brothers, first command, be continually empowered in the Lord. The emphasis, not only today, but hopefully in all of our studies together, is to point out to you that the Scripture emphasizes that our empowering is in the Lord. He doesn't give to me, the human being, His power. For me, the human being, to use His power as I see fit or as I want to. He is my power. And His power in me and through me is according to His will. And so the command is be continually empowered in the Lord. Not from Him, but in Him. There's where my power is, location in the Lord. And, again, literal translation, in the grip of His strength. All the English translations, they exchange all these words around, might and power and strength, to where all the English translations say things differently from all the others. But it literally says to be empowered in the Lord and in the grip of His strength. Meaning that the Lord has us in His grip. We saw from John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, that Jesus said, no one can take you out of my hand. And no one can take you out of my Father's hand. You got two hands that are holding us. So the consideration is, how strong is God? If He has His grip on my life, spiritually, what can happen to me? Nothing but blessing. 1 Peter 1:5 says that we are those who are being kept, guarded by the power of God for our salvation. 1 Peter 1:5. In John chapter 3, verse 30, John the Baptist says, He must increase and I must decrease. And just for your knowledge, if you want a scripture that is a summary statement of the Christian life, the whole process that we're going through is John chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase, and I must decrease. So why are these things happening to me in the physical realm? Why are these things happening to me? Because I must decrease, and He must increase. The second command is put on the full armor of God. Literally, be clothed in the full armor of God. The purpose? For you to have the ability to do what? To stand. To stand. I'm surprised at myself, and I'm surprised at others I mean, how many years do you study the Bible and you're still influenced by good Bible teachers that will tell you about these pieces of armor? It used to be that out of the seven things that he mentioned, that three of them were offensive weapons. All the rest are defensive. Now it's down to one. There's only one offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All other are defensive weapons, because the end result of the armor of God is to cause us to stand. We're not going anywhere. Our position is in Christ. We're already there. So where are you going? Well, we have to defeat the devil. He has already been defeated at the cross. And the last enemy to be defeated is death. So all of my enemies have been defeated. So why doesn't Satan give up? Because his motivation, if he cannot literally, realistically, spiritually take me away from Christ, he has to work deceptively and he has to lie to make me think that he can. He won't give up. He can't use the direct spiritual tactic because it won't work. So he has to work through the physical realm to make me feel like I'm being defeated. To make me feel like I'm not a successful, victorious Christian. So be armored with the full armor of God for you to be able to stand. All of the weapons are defensive, every single one of them. Why? Because we're standing. Not only are we standing, but it says for you to be able to stand against the methodical schemes. That's what wiles means. Methodical schemes, methodeia, methods of the devil. Notice it's plural. He has an entire system of attacks, not just one, but several. Mostly to wear us down, because the most he can do is cause us to grow weary so that we say, I quit. And even then, we can't quit. I mean, we can quit, but the Lord's not going to quit. So we saw that we're scouted. We're persecuted. That is, we're pursued. We're chased. And thirdly, we're encouraged to do not grow weary in well-doing, because in due time we will reap if we faint not. The reason is because our wrestling is not against blood and flesh. That's the deception of the spiritual warfare. The deception of the spiritual warfare is that our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, and that's a term that means human. The person that gives us a bad time or that attacks us, it's not the person. It's Satan using the person. But Satan wants us to engage in the human interaction, to take it out on the human, to get caught up in the human, get angry at the human, get upset at the human. But our battle is spiritual. It isn't human. But there are spirit beings that use the physical circumstances and the people around us to do what? It's not an attack on us spiritually. It's to get our minds off of the spiritual truth and on into the human. And make it snowball on us. I mean, you know, it just gets bigger and bigger the more you think about it. But secondly, we saw the description of these spiritual forces. They, in verse 12, they are the rulers and authorities and cosmic forces. They are the spiritual forces of evil, and we saw that these are in the spirit realm. Those are ranks of angels, military ranks. All angels, good and evil, are in military order because there is a spiritual warfare going on. And it's happening in the spirit realm. That term is used five times in the book of Ephesians. So he says the third command, verse 13, on account of this, this is the dimension of the spirit realm. On account of this, take up the full armor of God. That's the command. The cause, in order that you may be able to resist. The word withstand in the King James is resist. Can we see that? It is to stand. It is to resist the devil. Not engage in warfare with him. He's already been defeated. In order that you may be able to resist in the evil day, that is the day that you're attacked or under attack, the armor will help you to resist. And after all things have been worked out, that's the literal translation, after this trial, after everything in this particular trial is through, to stand. Before the trial starts, I am in Christ and Christ is in me. When I go through the trial, it totally wipes me out. And I'm totally embarrassed because I'm supposed to be a Christian. And where is all the power? I feel like I got hit by a truck. Don't you dare say you look like you get hit by a truck. Sometimes you feel like you get hit by a truck. Where's the victory? Except before, during, and then after the trial, our relationship with the Lord has not changed at all. He has not changed. Our position in Christ has not changed. Zero. But I feel like I got beat up. Well, my flesh probably did. And Satan wants me to evaluate through being beat up in the flesh. The whole conclusion for the armor of God is to stand and resist the devil. James said the same thing in James 4:7. Submit yourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And we will see that when we get to the piece of armor, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which many good Bible teachers say that is the only offensive weapon. Well, where are you going? You're standing. How do you get offensive? You know, come back here, because you're not going anywhere. When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, he did not use the word of God as an offensive weapon. It was in resistance. Satan would say something, he'd go, truth of God's word says this. It's resistance. It's defensive. It wasn't offensive. And Satan just loves for us in the human and religiously to get into fights with him. He loves it because it fits right in with the only thing that he can do to a believer is to occupy the attention of the mind. That's all he can do. Take our mind off of the things of Christ and on to the things of the world. And if we sat there and fought with the devil for our entire life, the devil would love it. Get into these battles. The battle's already been won. I'm pointing out to you what I and others over the years, even though it says it in the text, we still have to say, well, there's got to be an offensive weapon. I got to do something, right? No. You have to resist. That's no fun. I want to fight the devil. Let's defeat the devil. He's already been defeated. So he says in verse 14, he gives the command. We're now studying the position of the believer in verses 14 through 20. He gives the command, stand therefore. Now the word therefore means conclusion. In light of what he has told us in verses 10 through 13, in preparation and instruction for the armory, he now tells us, he gives us the command, stand therefore. And he now lists the components of the armor. After having had your waist wrapped around in truth. Notice the literal translation, after having. The command is to stand. And interesting, all these are what are called aorist participles. After having done all of these things one time, the end result is to stand. So now he's going over each piece of armor and he's showing that it's only put on one time. Why? Because these pieces of armor are Jesus Christ. He's trying to show us that once you're saved, your position in Christ is you are in Christ in the spirit realm at the right hand of the throne of God. Therefore, your spirit has been totally secured by God's armor. Don't get fooled by Satan's deceptions. You got the armor on. Use it. The first piece of armor, after having your waist wrapped around in truth. The word loins is the word waist. And it says wrapped around in truth. Now what they did, men in those days wore robes. And whenever they traveled, they're not in the city, they're not casual, they're not just walking around. In order to travel or to be ready for a contest, they'd reach down between their legs, take the back of the robe up, and then wrap it around their waist and tie it. Now they're prepared for battle. But in the soldier's equipment, not only is that sash tied in front, there's also a belt that goes on that holds all of that in place and upon which all the other pieces of armor, I say all, obviously the helmet's not, that'd be a pretty uncomfortable thing, have the helmet connected to your belt. But the belt holds on the breastplate. It holds things in order. And it is interesting that this the central piece of equipment is truth. Truth. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. As we've said before about peace and love and eternal life, I mean, add another one to the column. Love is not an action. Love is a person. Period. What does love look like? What does love do? Jesus Christ. Did he go around in a humanitarian way being nice to people? Well, I don't know. A couple of times he grabbed a whip and drove people out of the courtyards and overturned the money changers' tables. I mean, he could have been nice about it. I'm about ready to turn this table over, so if you pick up your coins, I'd do it now. I'll be right back. I got to chase out some sheep here and some stuff. No, he overturned the tables and the money just flew all over the place. And he drove the people out, but it's interesting, he told those who were selling the doves and the animals to remove them. He wasn't about to have them lose their possessions of animals. But he got angry. That was love. See, you and I don't know what love is. We don't know what love acts like except for the person of Jesus Christ. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, Ephesians 1:13, in Christ you also trusted, after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You heard the gospel of the truth, the person of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, Paul told us, if indeed you have heard him, meaning Christ, and have been taught by him, as truth is in Jesus. Not about him, but in him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. And this just adds to our list. For he is our peace. Peace has the definite article. Peace isn't a feeling. Peace isn't something that Jesus gives to me, the human being. He is my peace. My anchor. He is the truth. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, it says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, the truth, and we are in him who is the truth, even in his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the true God, and he is the eternal life. Add that to the list. How is it that I have eternal life? Does he give it to me? Is it a certificate? You know? Eternal life is Jesus Christ. Eternal life is a person. And he lives inside of my spirit and will never be separated from my spirit throughout eternity. So as long as he lives and the quality of life that he lives is what I will live. If he dies, I die. If he lives in the slums, I live in the slums. If he lives in the castle, in the palace in heaven, I'm going to live in the palace. Castle in heaven. Wherever Jesus is where I will be. And I will live as long as he lives, and he'll live forever. So it's not just a promise that he gives to me, it's him. 1 John 5:20 says that the true God and the eternal life is Jesus Christ. First John 4:8 tells us, and he that loves not does not know God, because God is love. Ay, 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 ay. Add another one to the column. God is love. Love is not an action. Love is a person. Does he have action? Yes. But I'm not fulfilling God's command to love by humanly and in a humanitarian way loving people. All those things are nice. And just to show you that we're convicted by our own actions, I think it's interesting that we take up the banner that God has commanded us to love one another. So we pick certain times during the week to go love people. What does that tell you? It means the rest of the time we're not. I'm going to go do good for people so I can go home and get back to my own self-centered, selfish ways so that I can fulfill the will of God on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8 o'clock. You see how deceived we are? God's commanded me to love. No, he did not command me to love. Get more into that the second hour. You might not want to stay for that one. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31, look what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 1, 30 to 31. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made for us wisdom. Jesus is our wisdom. And righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is that. He's my wisdom. He's my righteousness. He is my sanctification. He is my redemption. How do I know I'm redeemed? It's because I have Christ. He redeemed me. He is my redemption. It's not based on any goodness or works on my part. Now listen to this. Verse 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In order that, according as it is written, he that boasts, let him boast in the Lord. I mean, that should be like the banner over everything in every church in our day. If you have to present anything out of the Bible in such a way that you're encouraging human effort and human energy in order to fulfill the spiritual command of God, whatever you teach, it has to be so that we boast in the Lord. But if I go do that, I can't boast in him alone. Well, God gave me the ability. God made me great. I mean, I can't help that. You know? God does not bless our human effort. Zero. He is my peace. He is love. Now, here's where these factors clash, okay? Because truth is in Jesus. He is the truth. That means everything outside of Jesus Christ, his person, his word, his work, everything about Jesus Christ is the truth, and everything else is a lie. Everything. Even me. Did I say that? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I deceive myself. I fall for Satan's tactics. I am in the truth in Jesus Christ. Therefore, in all of my battles, the Lord is true and everyone else is a liar. Pretty simple. There go the doubts. And if somebody says, well, you're just being brainwashed. Well, that's what everybody's going through. You know that? Everybody's being brainwashed. We even brainwash ourselves. We talk ourselves into things being true and not being true. But I'd rather be brainwashed by Jesus Christ than anything or anybody else in the universe. I admit it. I'm totally committed to him. And if I die and find out that I'm wrong, that I just wasted my time, then I'm no different than anybody else. But it isn't me. I've got God's Spirit in me, convicting me and convincing me and persuading me. The Holy Spirit in me belongs to Christ and continues to testify to me about Jesus Christ. I heard a good statement the other day. Somebody said, I know that the Bible, God's Word, is inspired because it inspires me. God's Spirit inspires me. I can't help that. I'm like a demon-possessed man, only just the opposite. I'm a Holy Spirit-possessed man. In the human, I can't help that. That's, you know, I can try to walk away all I want to, but the Lord says, He's got me. Never to let me go. So the first piece of armor is the truth. Not just true statements, but the person of Jesus Christ and the truth that is in Jesus. Everything else is a lie. Next week we continue. Breastplate of righteousness. And the feet bound in the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for inspiring your word through Paul and inspiring us as we study together about our position in Christ and how Satan moves through the physical realm to appeal to our human senses in order to get us to evaluate spiritual life through the physical. And it's a lie. We pray that as we study these things, you would help us to understand the dimensions of life, the physical and the spiritual, and that you'd make alive, inspire us with your truth, in order that we might follow in the truth. Jesus said that we shall come to know the truth and the truth will set us free. Only Jesus Christ can set us free. Only His truth can set us free. Not a philosophy, not a religious belief, not even our own personal belief from out of the Bible. If it's not the truth in Jesus. And the truth in Jesus is that we can boast in Him and give Him the glory because He is all of these things to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.